Chapter 8. Nelson's Folly. Nelson's Folly. Naval slang. 19th century. Rum. John stood uneasily on the deck, just outside the captain's quarters, blinking into the bright sun. Tom gave him another nudge from behind, and John took a second reluctant step forward. He heard the larger man laugh, and John winced. This was not going to be easy. Coming around to sit on a small crate near the stairs to the quarterdeck, Tom looked up at him, brows furrowed in confusion. In the morning light, the first mate's face was a mess of yellows, greens, and purples.
"If you're going to be part of this crew, you're going to have to, you know, be part of the crew,"
he said to John, rubbing his thumb against the stubble on his chin.
"Now what's the bloody problem, Ducky?"
John stood barefoot on the wooden planks, staring in near panic at the men on deck who, for the most part, were completely ignoring him.
"Stupid, stupid, why did I think I could do this? I have problems with people. I'm not good with them. I just sort of shut down," he stammered, bringing up his hands to clutch at his biceps.
Tom let out a whoop of laughter and slapped his knees.
"Fucking hells," he said, chortling. "Fucking bloody fucking hells."
He shook his head and stood up, forcefully draping one of his muscular arms around John's shoulders. Because Tom wasn't much taller than him, John was stooped slightly under the larger man's weight as he tried to lean away from his bare side. Tom started dragging John along as he pointed out parts of the ship with a calloused, tobacco-stained finger.
"That's a mast. That's a crate. We're starting real simple here, lovey. That's old Ben, passed out like usual. Don't let him fool you, though. He's a good one once the hangover wears off,"
he said, kicking the sleeping man's boot. To one side of the ship, a man who must have been near 7 feet tall was pulling a rope through a pulley. John suspected he was the giant who had held his wrists at the brothel.
"That's Beard. Well, his name ain't really Beard. He just has an unpronounceable name in his shitty northern language. Don't you, Beard?"
he yelled up at the incongruously clean-shaven man. The huge, burly brute just frowned down at Tom before sending a jet of spit overboard. Tom laughed.
"Can't speak a word of anything else," he said, shaking his head.
John gingerly put one hand against Tom's warm side to try to pull his head out of the bigger man's hold, but to no avail. Tom just shifted his grip and steered him in another direction. John could feel the hard muscles flexing over Tom's ribs and pulled his hand back. The contact had sent his heart racing.
"This is the capstan," Tom continued, pointing to a large spoked wheel. "You'll be helping to turn that later today if you don't fall overboard and drown first."
The first mate chuckled to himself and then stopped.
"You can swim, right?"
he asked, looking down, sea-green eyes crinkled in amusement. John nodded quickly, and Tom patted him hard on the head with his free hand.
"Good, good," he said, and then pointed up, resuming the above-deck portion of his tour. "Yard arms, rat lines, quarter deck, mizzen mast, and, the captain."
Tom's voice trailed off at the last, the wind blown out of his sails at the sight of the man in the long, dark coat. John used Tom's momentary distraction to extract himself from the heavy arm over his shoulders. He stood next to the first mate, looking up at the captain's back high above them. When John had awoken that morning, the older man was nowhere to be seen, even though it couldn't have been more than a few hours since he'd laid down. Balsaros seemed to be watching the wake behind them, standing eerily still, a black silhouette against the bright cerulean sky. The muscles worked in Tom's broad jaw as he watched the captain a moment longer. When he finally turned his head back to his newest recruit, John thought he could see apprehension in Tom's blue-green eyes. "What is going on?" The first mate's face swiftly creased into a broad grin, discarding the solemnness that had settled for only a moment. He curled his big hand around John's bicep, turning the shorter man around again. John had to keep his mouth from dropping open when he saw the woman who was approaching them. There are women on the ship? He thought with alarm. She was slim and walked with a confidence that nearly turned her long strides into a swagger. As she came closer, John could see that she had dark, almond-shaped eyes and ebony hair in a long braid over one shoulder. She was dressed in a sleeveless, dark brown leather jerkin and black trousers that came down just past her knees, with brown leather lacing down each side. In wonder, John saw that she wore two gun belts crossed and slung low over her hips. The beautiful, silver-chased hardwood handles of the pistols resting against her thighs. John was happy to see that, unlike the captain and his first mate, she was an open book. Here was someone who was honestly friendly and, John realized, mildly concerned that he was in Tom's care. The first mate laughed low in his chest.
John, this exotic bit of skirt is Catherine. Don't piss her off or she'll make some new holes in that curly black head of yours. Won't you, lovey?
He said, addressing the last to the woman. Her lips slid into a wry smile, dismissing Tom completely as she turned her dark brown eyes to John. He could easily feel the deep animosity that existed between the two pirates.
Cat, if you'd like, she said, smiling.
John swallowed and nodded, nearly choking when Tom clapped a large hand to his chest.
Cat, my darling, meet our new little Johnny. Isn't he a dove? Lived under a rock, so's I can tell from his complexion. Completely mute, hung like a bloody mule,
said the first mate loudly. John felt his face grow hot. Tom leaned in close to his ear.
Exodus one. Soda cunny up tight, I hear to tell, when she took up with the crew. A total man-eater. She's got a string of cocks above her bunk that she stirs with her coffee.
He said in a stage whisper. John had to smile when Catherine rolled her eyes at him. She turned and frowned at Tom.
I see you fell down another flight of stairs, Tommy. You're so hard on that pretty face of yours, she said.
Her voice was girlish, despite the cocksure way she held herself. Tom shook his head slowly. The smile on his face was almost menacing. John took a deep breath.
I'm not mute. I can talk, he said somewhat lamely.
Tom's big hand slid up his back and squeezed his shoulder.
Course you can, lovey, course you can, said Tom,
his face filled with mock pity. The air was suddenly split with a shrill whistle, and Tom's head jerked around quickly. He released John and pointed at Catherine.
Show him the bunks, get him working on deck, he's needed this afternoon for the exchange,
he said and took off at a jog towards the rear of the ship. Catherine shook her head.
Off to see his master, she said, her smile crooked.
It's a pleasure to meet you, John. Welcome aboard.
She crossed her arms across her midriff and gave him an appraising look.
First time at sea? She asked.
John ducked his head and ran a hand through his dark curls.
That obvious, huh? He said.
At her laugh, he looked up with a frown. However, there was no malice on her face, only gentle amusement. John found himself smiling back at her.
So, said Catherine, her hands on her hips. What do you want to know?
John brought up one shoulder in a shrug.
I suppose everything you're willing to tell me, he said truthfully.
Tom's lessons so far had been largely unhelpful. He started and then cringed as a big, black-bearded man pushed past them. Catherine's eyes widened at John's reaction.
Not a fan of people?
Asked the woman with the guns, looking at him curiously. John shook his head.
Not really.
Catherine nodded and pressed her lips together.
Not to sound unkind, but are you sure you're in the right place? She asked softly.
John swallowed hard and shrugged again. Catherine nodded her head once in understanding and swiftly launched into the ship rules. Grateful for her tact, John found himself quickly absorbed by her words.
And Basically, we vote for anything that affects us. You really don't want to go to the Eastern Seas? Vote. You're not happy with what Cook's been making? We all vote, etc. It's pretty easy. We're really a skeleton crew on the ship. She could take twice our number, but we're all hard workers, and it actually isn't so bad. It also makes us richer. She laughed. The captain's got the final word on everything, but he's generally happy as long as we're happy.
John's eyes turned to the quarterdeck, but Baltzaros and Tom were nowhere to be seen.
Don't steal. Don't fuck over your mates. Those are the two big ones. We're to be loyal to each other. If you've got a problem with someone, you can resolve it privately. However, if you want to make it the business of the whole crew, the usual punishment for the guilty party is time in the brig, Catherine said. It might not sound like much, but ask Tom about it someday. He's done 3 long stretches down there just this year.
John felt the corners of his mouth turn down. His impression of the roguish first mate not improved by this news. Also, as the morning wore on, he was becoming increasingly aware of how ill-suited he was for this. Though Catherine was nice enough, he wished that the captain would... Would what? Talk to him? Let him stay locked away in his quarters? When John remembered the fear in Baltzaros' eyes, he swiftly clamped down on the tumult rising up inside before he lost his nerve.
Just don't think about it. You don't know what it means.
At a touch on his arm, he looked up. Catherine was looking into his eyes, worry plain on her face.
Are you okay? She asked.
Everyone is always asking.
As he took a deep breath, John straightened his shoulders and stood a little taller.
I can do this, he said,
more to himself than to the woman who stood before him. Catherine tilted her head slightly as she crossed her arms again. After a moment, a slow smile crept across her face.
So, are you really hung like a mule? She asked.
John started to blush, but then realized that she was only teasing him. Smiling crookedly, John blinked in amazement as he heard himself quip back. I'll show you if you get us out of this blasted sun. Baltzaros stood on deck, watching the other ships approach with his binoculars. Behind him, he could hear Tom barking orders at the deckhands.
Come on, you bunch of lounging fucking strumpets, put your backs into it. I want to see them all on deck before we heave to. Shake a leg. Oh, I am sorry, lovey. Did I wake the lady from her nap? I'll keelhaul a bloody lot of you if you don't put them kegs up smart-like.
The mainlander's rolling accent, amplified by his loud, running commentary, brought a small smile to Baltzaros' face. The first of the day. He sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose. As he turned his gaze up deck towards the bow, he saw that John was helping to lower the anchor. On the next spoke of the capstan was Catherine. Baltzaros nodded to himself. John would do well by befriending her. She was the best shot in his crew, and a fair hand with a sword. Their newest recruit could certainly learn a few things from her. The fact that John was out dropping anchor in the hot sun, however, brought a frown to the captain's rugged face. He had explicitly told Tom not to put John to work just yet. The younger man was on the mend, but in no state to be doing hard physical labor. Annoyed, he looked back to his burly first mate, but Tom had gone below decks again. Though the ex-slave was at most times desperately loyal, his interpretations of the captain's orders left something to be desired. With John aboard, the problem seemed only to have worsened. Baltzaros lifted the binoculars to his eyes again and saw that Magrette's ship, the Nelson's Folly, had anchored. A jolly boat was slowly being lowered down her side. It was soon time to see whether their newest recruit would prove his worth. If not... The captain furrowed his brow and turned his gaze back to the dark-haired young man. After last night's drinking binge, Baltzaros felt less than stellar. However, it seemed to have brought some calm to the storm created by his attraction to John. Baltzaros knew they would be working side by side later, but since the captain had taken a step back, he felt that he was again in total control, or at least he hoped he was. If John failed to dazzle, he would simply drop him off at the nearest port.
Why not just kill him?
Baltaros passed his hand over his face and grimaced.
Why not indeed? Came the whisper from within.
Two small barrels of pepper and a crate of nutmeg,
listed out the first mate. The scrawny, black-haired man then turned to his captain and nodded.
It's all there, he said.
Earlier, Baltaros had explained that they had recently overtaken a huge merchant ship and were trading off the plundered foodstuff and spices. In return, the other captain, someone they dealt with occasionally, was giving them gold. John's job was to make sure that there was no swindle involved. Baltaros had reason to believe that this Captain Magrette could no longer be trusted. Trying his best to appear aloof and confident, John stood to the left of the captain. In reality, he was so nervous and distracted by Captain Baltaros's presence that he feared his talents would prove to be useless. Tom stood to the captain's other side, thick arms crossed over his broad chest, his bare feet planted wide apart on the wooden deck. The first mate slyly glanced over to where John stood and winked. After shaking his head at Tom, John turned back to the dealings. He watched carefully as the men pulled three small chests up from the boat below. When the third chest was hefted, John noticed that the pirates lifted it easier than the other two, and he frowned. Their movements were exaggerated, as if in a pantomime. The men shared a quick glance with their captain before setting the lighter chest down, and John's eyes slid from the gold to the pale-skinned man with the large hat. There was definitely something amiss.
Why would they want us to notice that one chest was light?
The captain of the other ship was nothing like Baltaros. Where the northerner was all planes and angles, Magrette was doughy lumps and curves. The man wasn't hugely fat. He was just not as slim as his straining clothes would have liked. John narrowed his eyes at the other captain and caught something in the man's demeanor that reinforced his feeling of unease. Swinging his eyes back to the chests that now sat open on the wooden planks, John's clever mind presented to him a scenario where a lighter chest would somehow benefit someone trying to hustle them. It reminded him of the way merchants would present an item and prove its quality before selling identical-looking wares of an inferior worth. He smiled. Baltaros turned to him, his eyes dark and impassive.
What do you see, John?
He asked. John felt himself blanch. No one had told him he would have to speak in front of everyone. Foolishly, he had imagined a private conversation with the captain. The silence stretched on, all eyes turning to him. Feeling like he was going to burn his way through the hull, John took a deep breath and finally spoke.
They're shortchanging us, Captain,
he said in a voice that wavered. The other ship's skinny first mate looked askance at his own captain. John could tell that he had not been told of the deceit. When Captain Magrette opened his mouth to dismiss his pronouncement, John felt suddenly bold with indignation. The third chest, the one on the left, is lighter than the other two, not by much, but enough. They gambled on you noticing it was slightly lighter and counting the gold in it right away to make sure the amount is right, and it will be. They're trying to make us think that we're coming out ahead of the deal. But it's only when the other two were emptied that you noticed that it was the chests themselves that were heavier. False bottoms, with something heavy like lead inside, I think. Crude and stupid. He finished, looking up at the older man by his side. Captain Magrette had started to sputter, but the sound of gold rolling across the deck and Tom's long string of expletives confirmed John's theory. Baltaros turned to look down at John. He was astonished and reassured by the depth of amusement and relief in the captain's brown eyes. John smiled. Baltaros smiled back. With his eyes still on his newest recruit, he gave the command.
Tom, take them, he said, his voice deadly quiet.
There was an incredibly short struggle as Tom and the gathered deckhands disarmed the would-be thieves. The scrawny first mate spoke up.
I ain't never was a part of this, Captain, sir,
he said, his voice nasal and sharp.
Baltzaros raised an eyebrow at John and tilted his head slightly. John understood this as an invitation. He speaks the truth, Captain. He might be a complete worm, but he wasn't a part of this. If you let him go, he'll warn others about what happens when thieves cross us, he said, his breath short in his chest as the captain continued to hold his gaze.
Catherine,
said the captain, his graceful lips curling further into a pleased grin. There was a splash and yelling from below. John gathered that the skinny first mate had been pushed overboard. Baltzaros nodded once.
Good job,
he said simply, and finally turned away. John nearly staggered, his heart careening in his chest. However, for the first time in his life, he felt incredibly in control, confident. He looked on as the captain stalked slowly towards the doughy Magret. The two men shared quiet words. John was unable to hear what they were saying, but it was clear that the fat captain was pleading for his life. In strange detachment, the captain's new advisor watched as a river of red began to flow down the deck. John tripped and ended up sprawled on the floor. He rolled over onto his back and started laughing, his hands clutching his stomach as he fought for breath. Tom's face appeared above him. The first mate's ocean-green eyes were narrow with amusement, and his pink lips were stretched in a wide smile.
Oi, lovey, you're a bit of a lightweight, ain't you?
Said Tom, holding out a hand to help John back to his feet. The world spun a little, so John leaned against the bigger man's side. Tom chuckled as his arm came up behind John. John laughed again and held out his hand for the bottle of rum they were sharing. The golden lights of the lanterns made streaks in his vision, and for some reason that made him giddy with joy. He narrowed his eyes, head nodding, at the men who were dancing and shouting. It was a celebration. He was a pirate, doing pirate things. John grinned wide and wiped at his mouth. Tom's hand was warm against his side as the first mate took the brown bottle back from him. John felt fantastic. He could see Catherine standing on the capstan, a fiddle in her hands, as she whipped the men into a frenzy with music birthed from wild emotions. For a moment, he thought he saw the captain's silhouette. John fell back against Tom's shoulder and looked up at the endless stars. Tom wasn't such a bad guy.
You're not such a bad guy, he yelled.
He felt Tom's hand squeeze him, and it sent a sudden thrill through his body.
No, this is wrong, isn't it?
He laughed and shook his head, making himself a little dizzy in the process. John had never been to a celebration before, not really. There were the times when their lord came back to the castle and cook would make something nice for the occasion. Sometimes Reginald's men would gather in the courtyard and there would be dancing with the maids, but nothing like this. The captain was pleased with him. It was because of him that they were drinking and dancing under the stars, on the sea. The calm sea. He was at sea. He went to take the bottle from Tom's hand, but the first mate held it out of reach. John grabbed at it, grinning like a fool. Tom pulled the slighter man against him. Only for a moment, John felt Tom's scratchy stubble against the bottom of his jaw. And then the muscular pirate poured rum into his mouth.
I want to show you something, lovey,
said Tom, his handsome face serious.
Handsome.
Dangerous. John realized that one of his hands had looped around the muscular back of the first mate. He was being led away from the music. They were in the captain's quarters. He managed to stumble over the edge of a rug, and he was down again, giggling. When had he ever giggled before? Muffled voices.
Oh, the captain was here.
Tom leaned down and scooped him up.
The boy was so strong, felt so smooth for being so rough.
He shook his head, trying to clear it as he was held upright by the first mate. He smiled at the captain who was reclining on his bed, shirtless and with a book in one hand.
Hi.
He said, feeling suddenly shy. Tom's hands were wandering into strange territory, and John pushed at them half-heartedly. Baltzaros put his book down beside him, his expression frustratingly unreadable. Tom pushed John down onto the bed, and he rose up unsteadily on his knees on the soft mattress.
"He's drunk," said the captain.
Or so that's what it sounded like. John missed what Tom was saying because Baltzaros' hand came out to steady him, to pull him back. John was leaning back against the captain's bare chest. Large, steady, warm hands stroked down his arms, and he felt himself shiver. His mind was reeling. He was leaning against the captain, against him on his bed, and, oh God, he's... John groaned when Baltzaros slid a hand into the open collar of his shirt, moving slowly to tease his nipple. An incredible pulse of desire went through John.
"You did well today, lad,"
said the captain softly into his ear. Baltzaros' other hand was doing something at John's waist. John watched wide-eyed as fingers not his own unfastened his pants. Sudden panic began to well up inside him when the captain's hand started tugging down on the waistband of his undershorts. John's breath was coming fast, and he heard himself moan as Tom's nimble fingers quickly helped to divest him of cover. Time felt sped up. He felt cool air on his exposed cock and gasped as Baltzaros' hands slid up to John's shoulders, holding him gently against his chest. This was too much. He shuddered as Tom stroked the skin of his stomach, of his lips. Just as the first mate's hand came into contact with John's growing erection, he heard the captain's voice.
"Use your mouth, Tom," said Baltzaros, his words in order.
John's breathless reaction to the shocking command forced blood to surge faster into his cock, making it throb. He felt as if balanced on the edge of a precipice. Was this really happening? His head was foggy from the rum, but when Tom's tongue slid wetly up the underside of his hardening shaft, John's senses came alive. He whimpered, his cock bobbing of its own accord in reaction to the contact. He looked down into Tom's sea-green eyes and held his breath. The first mate's mouth curled into a wicked grin before his lips parted over the head of John's cock, completely engulfing the sensitive skin. The foreign sensation was pleasure that was rendered so exquisitely raw that it pulled a cry from deep within John's chest. Tom's mouth was so wet and unbelievably hot. John strained against the captain, tilting his head up and back against Baltzaros' strong shoulder, his eyes closed tight. Tom began swallowing him down, and John moved his hips up in response, astonished by his eagerness. Baltzaros' hands stroked the taut muscles of his stomach and chest through his shirt, whisper light, tender touches that only worked to enhance the rougher treatment Tom was giving him in contrast. Nearly his entire length slid down the red, wet tunnel of the first mate's throat, and John groaned. Tom's hard hands grabbed him around the hips as he forced himself down further, his wide, open lips making contact with the very base of John's shaft. Then Tom began to move, and John's cock began sliding in and out of the first mate's mouth. Baltzaros' large hand played at his throat, clasping it slowly in time to Tom's motions. John bucked his hips in abandon, hot lust unfurling inside, opening him up. He felt Baltzaros' mouth against the side of his neck, and he let out a shuddering breath. John opened his eyes and turned his head, desperately seeking out those graceful, cruel lips with his own. When their mouths met, John let out a soft sob, a fresh surge of desire searing through him. He opened his mouth to Baltzaros' tongue and wantonly quested out with his own, feeling the captain grow hard against the small of his back as their mouths moved together. John gasped and brought up his hand, Baltzaros' sharp stubble rasping against the skin of his palm. The tide of pleasure inside him was climbing steeply, and he moaned into the kiss. Tom steadily increased his pace. John had to break away from the captain in alarm, pushing at the first mate's head.
"Don't! Oh God, don't! I'm going to—"
he gasped. He couldn't say the words, "I'm going to come." The thought of ejaculating into Tom's open mouth was what tipped the balance, and he tensed as his senses narrowed down to a white-hot spear of ecstasy, the cum rising through him and surging out of his throbbing hard cock in thick pulses. John moaned as his body strained up with the force of his orgasm, his shaft completely engulfed by Tom's talented mouth. When he finally went limp, shaken and almost weeping, Tom released him. The first mate's lips were red and shiny with spit and cum as he looked down at John.
"You going to survive?"
he asked, wiping his mouth with a smile. With his shirt soaked through with sweat, John lay panting against the captain. He nodded, closing his eyes. Balsaro stroked a hand down John's side softly before gently pushing him off. The young man curled up on his side on the red coverlet, helpless tears leaking from his eyes to darken the bright satin. He felt loose-limbed and relaxed, though keenly emotional at the same time. Finally catching his breath, John wondered drowsily how he would feel about this later. Across the bed, the captain pulled his first mate into his arms, kissing him deeply. John watched, slightly confused, a little bit hurt.
"I'm the interloper."
He closed his eyes.
"Not so special."
Now that the rush of adrenaline had ebbed, the effects of his overindulgence came creeping back, making his body heavy. He forced his eyes open again to see Tom working the fastenings loose on Balsaros's pants. He blinked, and when his vision cleared, the captain was up on his knees, long fingers clasped behind Tom's head as he fucked the first mate's mouth. John's lids were drooping shut as he felt himself being pulled away by sleep. He tried once more to keep them open and saw that the captain was looking down at him. The kiss came back, clear in his mind, and then John was gone. Balsaros watched John's eyes close, and he shut his own. Tom's skilled mouth had him skirting the edges of oblivion, but it brought with it none of the blazing, exquisite heat that had clenched like a fist inside Balsaros at the touch of John's lips to his.